seated. All right, we have one case on our 9:30 docket, which we'll call now. It is Hornbuckle versus Countrywide Loans. If Ms. Stewart will please announce who's arguing today. All right, Ms. Hornbuckle, you may approach the podium.
Okay. I'm here to represent myself in behalf of this for my home, because after realizing all of the mortgage, I had been watching things with Countrywide and how many people have been foreclosed on, they chose not to fight back. I chose to fight back. My husband and I purchased this house in 2002. There was nobody else there but just my husband and I. 2004, I'm a person that always sends certified letters. When Principal Residential Mortgage Company transferred my note to Countrywide as servicer, I sent them a letter. They responded back, "Did you sell my note?" The response I have, "We didn't sell the note." What is the only thing that's going to bring closure right now? They have everything the defendants have done, hiring several law firms to keep this from going to trial by jury. Because when they are saying they're filing a no evidence summary judgment, first of all, that's not true. Something is either true or it's not. That's just a fact. And I've given them every evidence of my ownership of that property, my deeds, everything that I'm total owner. But from 2004 and 2005, I paid my house note every month. My husband died as a result of this abusive debt collection in 2005. I have records showing that these were paid. What Countrywide did in order to create a default was to send my money back. Send 11 payments in 2005, so number 12, they start sending payments back. I wasn't aware. I didn't know the issue now is the owner of the note. These attorneys have sent all types of motions and all of this that they have done. But I have a right up under the Constitution to have equal protection of the law up under Chapter 4. I haven't had that. I've had prejudice. I have been treated differently because I don't have an attorney. That is wrong.
Ma'am, we're here to hear your arguments on the law.
Yes, ma'am.
And what I am concerned about is your position is that Countrywide cannot foreclose on your property because they have sold your note. Is that your position?
No, ma'am. Principal Residential Mortgage Company was a lender. I don't know Countrywide. I've never signed a note with them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't know Countrywide.
They bought your note.
No, they're saying now, later. In 2007, I never heard of them, but what, as much as I know now, and this is what the issue is about, who's my lender? Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company is saying in 2004, they purchased a note and Countrywide was the servicer.
Yeah.
I never heard anything from Massachusetts Mutual to this day. I don't have one letter. I don't know Massachusetts Mutual.
In the trial court, you showed the trial judge the proof of all the payments you had made.
I never had a chance to go to court. I had a hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
Judge Curry couldn't hear us that day. I finally had an attorney one time. I paid the attorney to come with me.
Well, but whether you had an attorney or not isn't really what I'm asking. I'm asking, when they filed their motion for summary judgment, did you show that you had been making the payments?
Yes, ma'am. I showed the ownership of it, and I filed a subpoena to testify where that Judge Curry asked Attorney Elena, said, "Give me the chain of titles." I said, "I don't know the lender. There's no record on Tarrant County record."
Well, did you tell Countrywide or the court or anybody where you had sent these payments to?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you show them proof that you had
yes,
sent
ma'am.
These payments?
Yes, ma'am. I have Yes, ma'am. I have given them proof what the problem is. I've let attorneys, even though I don't have an attorney, mm-hmm. I took these documents to attorneys to say, what is the problem? They said, Ms. Hornbook, the problem is you don't have a lender. Some chain of assignments evidently was broken. He said the Tarrant County records are the records of truth. 2004, Massachusetts Mutual is saying they own my house. 2005, that's what they say. I have a record that they...
Did you send the payments to?
Countrywide.
The payments Countrywide?
Yes.
And Countrywide sent your payments, sent 11 payments back?
No, they didn't send. No, they... In 2004, it was transferred to Countrywide,
right.
Starting in February.
Right.
So I had 11 payments to pay that year from February to December. They were paid. Starting January of 2005, I sent them probably 3 or 4 payments. It was several payments because my bank account was revealed that we had quite a bit of money in the bank at that time.
Well, we can only look at what the trial court could look
at. Yes, ma'am. Well, at the end of 2005, that's when they started sending the payments back. So I went into chapter 13 in 2006. I didn't know anything still about Massachusetts Mutual. They didn't show up until 2007 when I filed the first lawsuit.
So you filed bankruptcy in the federal court, in the federal bankruptcy court.
Yes, I did.
Chapter 13. And... did you include what all did you include in that bankruptcy?
Countrywide asked me for, after paying them all their payments, they asked me for $18,000. They did not follow the law of when it says that you send out notices. I never received notices. I wasn't aware. This is how the manipulation is.
Okay. We can only look at what's in the record.
Yes, ma'am.
What was before the trial court, because our job isn't to decide whether what Countrywide did was right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to decide whether the trial judge
mm-hmm.
did the right thing or the wrong thing.
Right.
And that's all we can look at.
Okay.
Is whether the trial judge did something wrong mm-hmm. or did mm-hmm. it right.
Mm-hmm.
So after the bankruptcy was over, when was the bankruptcy over?
I dropped it after a year. I dropped it. I went before the judge and dropped it because I didn't owe the money, and I decided that I don't know who my lender is. I don't know who's taking my money, so I dropped it. And so I have asked Countrywide, who is my lender? I don't know. Even today, I don't know who my lender is.
Okay. Were you behind? Did you tell the trial judge that you had made all the payments or that you were behind on the payments?
When we had the summary judgment, I didn't get to speak. I finally
had... You have to do it in paperwork.
Yes, ma'am. I gave all of this to them, and they know I wasn't behind. Only thing I know is this is what they do. It doesn't matter if you are behind or not. Once these companies decide that they're going to foreclose you and they're going to sell these mortgages on the secondary market, this is just a game that they do, and they hire expert attorneys that know how to do it, and that's all I'm saying. I have been fighting this for almost 7 years now. They have filed 5 foreclosure attempts, which I'm sure most is in the document. None of them has worked because they don't have the note. The key factor is the key to what I figured out that will resolve the whole thing. Where is the documents to prove that Principal Residential Mortgage Company sold my note? I don't have that.
The question is, what did the trial court have that made the trial court believe they did have authority to foreclose on this note? What did they attach to their motion for summary judgment, and what did you give the trial court in response?
It was an error because the attorney was there, which I didn't speak. I didn't have an attorney that day. And Judge Curry wasn't able to hear the case, so we went to another court. The attorney that I had hired, the first time I had an attorney, he said, there are issues here. He said there's unresolved issues here, many of them here.
That was response in his motion to the his response to the motion for summary judgment.
Yes.
There are issues of fact.
Yes.
And that the trial court should not have granted the
That's right.
motion for summary
That's right.
judgment because there are issues of fact.
That's right. That's what he was telling. He was telling.
And the issues of fact mm-hmm. were.
He said that there's no proof of who her mark, who her lender is. There's unresolved issues here with what has happened to her payments, he said, and I need some time. I thought the attorney would say, okay, because this attorney don't know, had never met the judge. Since Judge Curry didn't get a chance to hear it, he would have been more familiar with it. But she told him, she made it appear to the judge, I was just not making payments or something, and that was not the truth. And so the attorney was telling the judge, he said, Your Honor, there's unresolved issues. You know, there should be no summary judgment, because if you give me a look, continue, give me some time to take a look at this, of these issues, so that I can find out who really owns the note of this house. And I don't know why he granted the summary judgment, and I don't know why he did after the attorney told him that it was an error, and he had that with the material facts of these issues there that were disputed, that he should not have granted it, but he did grant the summary judgment.
Well, Countrywide says that they provided proof and verification that they of who owned the note, and that they were the servicer, and that they attached it to their motion for summary judgment. Did you not get that?
Yeah, they never provided it. Countrywide has hearsay. What Countrywide has done, they have attorneys that have sent piles of papers, but not one time have they given the proof who the lender is. I asked who is my lender, you know, what do I need to pay? Countrywide has not provided it, and what this attorney did, I have it here, it's Judge Curry. She said we don't have the documents. She said at the summary judgment that we cannot prove because we don't have it, because they did some electronic or something, and I don't know if they lost them or not. But I have documents from this attorney. She said we don't have any evidence. We don't have it. We checked the Tarrant County records in 2004 and 5. If Principal Residential Mortgage Company sold the note to Massachusetts Mutual, they know the law for each country, each town where you make a sale. You're supposed to go down and record that. It's just like if you get married, you record that. If you buy a car, you have a title or something to it. There's nothing on the county records. In 2006, they forged my deeds and put an assignment in 2006. The only thing that the Tarrant County records asked, Judge Kirby asked, how many assignments? One, and it was for in 2006. So the year 2004 and 2005, there's no evidence that Massachusetts Mutual is my lender. And I don't know who my lender is.
What did that 2006 assignment show as far as who the lender was supposed to be?
It shows no lender. I took it to the attorney, to an attorney. He said, Ms. Hornbaker, only a lender can sell the note. Only lender, he said, when they use MERS to conceal, he said, this is a concealment. This is not even a true assignment. The county record said in 2006 it was assigned to Massachusetts Mutual. Well, when Kelly Lander presented her records that Judge Curry asked her to present, she said in 2006 it was sold to Countrywide. So we have a discrepancy there. And I would go with the fact that the people that work for Tarrant County, these are good people, they're abundant, they are people that they trust to be in that position. What I am saying is, because between the schemes and manipulation of the system, and I'm pro se, and I made up my mind to fight where so many people gave up, but I still have a right. And right now the issue is they want to talk about this, that, and the other. That's not reveling this time. The only thing that's reveling today to bring closure, if there is an owner, and the four attorneys I talked to, they agree. If there's an owner, produce the note. They said, Ms. Holmberg, they wouldn't have to file foreclosures over and over if they had the documents. I want the note. That's all. I don't want to hear anything, all other that they want to talk about. I just want the note to know who is my lender. That's what I need to know. And I believe if I had a trial by jury, that evidence would have to be presented to the jury. It would be fair to me, for me to be treated fair in this, where that it not an error made by the court to say, oh, well, you know, Maybe that was not an error. Yes, there was an error. And the only thing would be fair so that this can be proven to the facts of it is for me to go to a trial by jury where we got somebody else listening to it that's looking to the evidence. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Hornbuckle. All right, Ms. Castaneda.
May it please the court, thank you so much for taking the time to hear from us today. We really appreciate the court's time and attention to this. I believe that the confusion here exists because there is a difference between the creation of a note and the assignment of that note and payments made to a mortgage servicer. I don't think that this confusion exists in the law or in the summary judgment record, but I do believe that this fundamental misunderstanding may have contributed to a feeling that there has been some unfairness in this case or injustice in this case. And while I regret that misunderstanding exists, legally, I believe that Appalese, Countrywide, and MassMutual have done what they were supposed to do, have fulfilled their obligations under the note and the deed of trust, and frankly, have come to the court to go through a foreclosure process so that everyone might come to this understanding rather than doing a non-judicial foreclosure. The record does establish that the Hornbuckles were in default, both by affidavit testimony and by the payment history that was proved up by the affidavit that Appalese submitted in support of summary judgment. I am surprised to hear today that appellants are contending that payments were made and sent back, or that there was no default that existed. The summary judgment record is devoid of those kinds of assertions or evidence to support those assertions. At the summary judgment stage, it was uncontroverted that the loan was in default and that it had been in default for quite some time. And that it was significantly in default as well. It was not just one or two missed payments.
She said that 11 payments were returned to her.
That is the first that I'm hearing of that. And I just flipped back through the response papers that were filed by the Hornbuckles in the trial court just to be sure that I hadn't missed something. And I don't see that in their response papers, and I don't see evidence supporting it either. So I don't believe that is in the summary judgment record, but regardless of that, I think that the uncontroverted evidence that was submitted by Appalese establishes that there was a default. And there certainly is no evidence that would have linked up the missed payments shown in the payment history that was attached to Appalese affidavit. That payment history is contained in the first volume of the clerk's record, starting at page 158. There certainly was no summary judgment evidence that would have linked up payments that Ms. Hornbuckle contended that she made that were purportedly returned with the defaults that are shown by the payment history. But I don't believe that there is any evidence of payments that were made timely that were, for some inexplicable reason, returned.
Are you saying that payments could have been returned if they were late?
I am not saying that. I'm just saying I don't think that there's any evidence in the clerk's record. There's no evidence that I've seen in the clerk's record, whether before today or in my review of the record just now, of payments that were made but returned. I would say this. If the loan had been declared in default and a notice of default had been sent, at that point, under the deed of trust, there are certain procedures that apply. And at that point, the Hornbuckles would have had the option to either pay the amount required to reinstate the loan or to pay off the loan. So I don't know that an untimely payment made after a notice of default were sent in would have had any obligation to accept it, or alternatively, that it would have gone toward curing the default. Having said that, what I just said is entirely hypothetical because there's just no evidence that any of that happened.
Where is the note?
The note is at the first volume of the clerk's record, 145-146. It's attached to an affidavit that verifies that it is a true and correct copy of the note that was executed by the Hornbuckles. I think there's a distinction between provision of the original note and the contention that Mrs. Hornbuckle isn't sure that Countrywide and Mass Mutual are entitled to enforce the note. Producing the original of the note, both Rule 166A and the Texas Supreme Court have provided that attaching a photocopy of an original and providing an affidavit that attests that it's a true and correct copy of the original is sufficient for summary judgment. The Texas Supreme Court addressed that in Zargis versus Beaven, which is at 652 Southwest 2nd, 368. So I think that issue is really a non-issue. From the standpoint of who owns the note, both the affidavit and the attached documentation establish that Mass Mutual is the owner of the note and Countrywide is the servicer, and that under the deed of trust, they are entitled to foreclose on the note in the event of a default. And that would be at the first volume of the clerk's record on page 142, which is the affidavit, or one page of the affidavit. Pages 145 and 146, which are a true and correct copy of the note, signed by the Hornbuckles. Pages 147 through 154, which is the deed of trust, which establishes these rights, obligations, and the right to foreclose. And then the assignment, which is at 155 through 157. And the statements in the affidavit back up the documents as well. I mean, there was testimony that through a series of transactions, the loan was assigned to Countrywide as servicer for the benefit of Massachusetts Mutual as the owner. And that statement and the supporting documents were not controverted by opposing summary judgment evidence. So for purposes of this summary judgment, those matters were established as a matter of law. And there was no genuine issue of material fact on those elements of judicial foreclosure. So the trial court at that point did not have much discretion to do anything other than what it did. I don't think that there was any impropriety in the trial court's handling of the summary judgment. The trial court spent a lot of time on this case. There was quite a bit of discovery. In response to Ms. Hornbuckle's concerns about the ownership of the note, the trial court did direct Countrywide and Mass Mutual to provide the supporting documentation that basically walked her through the note from inception to assignment. And actually, Ms. Hornbuckle attached her own summary judgment evidence that shows Countrywide and Mass Mutual did provide all those documents. The letter walking Ms. Hornbuckle through the documentation and explaining to her the meaning and effect of those documents in terms of the transferring ownership and the servicing of her note appear at the second volume of the clerk's record, page 254. That's also noted in the brief. And as you can see, it just walks through. Here's the note. Here's where it was transferred, assigned to Countrywide for servicing. Here's the deed of trust that shows the trustee, and here's the assignment that shows that trustee's assignment to Countrywide for the benefit of Mass Mutual.
You said there was quite a bit of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
What was the form of the discovery?
There were document requests and document productions. And when this dispute arose, not a dispute, when Ms. Hornbuckle requested additional documentation after documents had already been provided, the trial court directed Countrywide and Mass Mutual to provide a second production that was just these documents showing the note and the chain of transfer. So that's what the letter at page 254 shows, is that second document production that was just walking through, here's where the note got created and here's where it ended up.
And what does the summary judgment evidence show as far as the amount in default?
The amount in default, I can tell you. Notice of default. As of December of 2007, it looks as though it was a little bit over $30,000 in default.
So.
And that is just the missed payments, not any late charges or other charges. So that was the notice of default that was sent in December of 2007.
And I take, have there been any attempts to make any payments since 2007?
No. And during the course of the lawsuit, a letter was sent to the Hornbuckles, basically providing a reinstatement quote, which was the amount that at that point in time would have been required to reinstate the loan, and a payoff quote, which is the amount that would have taken to pay off the loan. So even during the litigation, there were efforts made to at least provide other options other than foreclosure. And that did not happen. There was no real response to that offer. And that actually is in the clerk's record as well at page 213 of the second volume. And that was evidence that Ms. Hornbuckle actually submitted in the summary judgment proceeding. Was that letter making that offer to her?
What was the time span between Countrywide's second production of documents and the actual hearing on the motion for summary judgment?
The summary judgment here, well, the second production was in March of 2009, and the summary judgment hearing. See if it's here. The summary judgment hearing was first set in the summer of 2009, and then a request for continuance was made, so it ended up being heard in September. So, and it was the end of March, so let's say it was basically April 1. That would have been May, June, July, August, about 4 or 5 months.
And that was a continuance requested by appellant?
Yes, requested by her attorney. He filed a notice of appearance and requested the continuance, and the court granted it and gave an extra month for him to get up to speed.
And did her attorney stay on the case, or was there a withdrawal?
No withdrawal. And he was at the summary judgment hearing that actually did take place in September and represented her there. I think it is important that there is no dispute that the Hornbuckles did take out this mortgage loan. There's no dispute that they signed the note. And in fact, despite the protestations that Countrywide has never been involved, if you look at page 320 of the second volume of the clerk's record, which is the signature page of the note that Ms. Hornbuckle filed in the summary judgment record, stamped upon it in two places is that Countrywide Home Loans Inc. is who she's supposed to be paying. So there's not a whole lot of confusion that Countrywide was the mortgage servicer. And yet, the default occurred.
And is it totally clear who owns the note?
Yes, it is.
At this point, why below what did Mrs. Hornbuckle say created in her mind the confusion as to who owns the note?
There were two things, to my understanding, of what has gone on here, that, and from my reading of the papers. One is that the original of the note was not provided in the summary judgment. And two is that Countrywide and Mass Mutual are not parties to the original note. So the assignment is not part of the argument. The fact that a note can be assigned is not part of the argument. The fact that she'd been making payments to Countrywide is not part of the argument. Her argument is you didn't put in the original of the note, and if you look at the copy that you have, the party is not MassMutual or Countrywide. The party is Principal.
And what is the evidence, the summary judgment evidence, that MassMutual does have the right to foreclose?
Both the affidavit of Diane Deloney that was submitted with the motion for summary judgment that says that the loan was assigned to Countrywide for MassMutual's benefit, and the actual assignment from the deed of trust trustee to the Countrywide MassMutual. And again, there's no controverting evidence to that.
And the copy of the note that was attached to the affidavit?
Sure, yes.
And this is part of the mortgage electronic registration system?
It had been, yes, under the deed of trust.
Okay.
MERS is listed in the actual deed of trust and then also in the assignment. And again, this is the record that the trial court had. It didn't have controverting evidence. It didn't have anything that would have raised a genuine issue of material fact in response to the prima facie evidence that was provided. And this is after years of litigation and discovery. Thank you again for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Castaneda. Ms. Hornbuckle, you have a 5-minute rebuttal.
Okay.
I'd like to try to cover this briefly. I heard what she said about 2007 and the letter here. First of all, I have checks. I have a copy of the payments that were made in 4 and 5. They've had evidence. They have produced no evidence. They've asked for protective order from the court. Every time I ask for evidence, they asked the court for a protective order. There is nothing there. And what I told her, and I'm going to stay with this, I want the documents where that principal residential, who did he sell the property to? The law says that it needs to be recorded.
Were you behind $30,000 on the payments?
No, ma'am.
Have you made any payments since, what was the last time you made payments?
Ma'am, I cannot get a lender to send me any doc. In other words, I don't know what's going on right now because.
But what was the last date?
Ma'am, what I'm telling you, I don't. If I can read that, okay, this is what she discussed in 2000.
No, ma'am. What's before us right now?
Okay.
And the question I'm asking you is, what is the last date you made a payment? You say you
okay.
Got all the checks.
For
what is the last?
Okay. I cannot tell you, and I'll be honest with you, the exact last date because I have sent for a payment booklet from Massachusetts Mutual. They won't send me a payment booklet.
I understand that, but you say you've got checks.
Yes, ma'am.
For the checks.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the latest date on the check that you've got?
Okay.
As proof.
On those particular checks there, this is 2007 when they asked for $30,000. But what I'm saying, I was still in Chapter 13.
What was the last date? What's the date?
I don't know the exact date.
You say you have all the checks. You say you have the checks.
They did not take in. When Countrywide, starting in 2005, refused any checks after 2005.
All right. So you're saying you haven't written a check since 2005?
What I'm saying to you, no, in the earlier part of 2006, I didn't do nothing because they wouldn't accept payments, so I filed a Chapter 13. And to rebut, I don't have much time, what she just said, you asked her the question about 2007. She said I didn't make any payment in 2000, starting June the 6th. Here they're saying June the 6th, I owe $35,000. I'm paying the trustee at Chapter 13. I am paying the payments, all of 2006. I'm paying it to them.
Is 2006 the last?
Starting 2007, yes, ma'am. In other words, the first part of 2006, I didn't pay nothing because they would not accept any payments.
What is the last date
on
the checks you have?
No, on the checks that I have,
yes.
Those are 2005.
2005.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and then you said you made payments on that mortgage to the trustee in bankruptcy?
Yes, I did. I made payments until they asked me for $35,000 for payments is already made. The reason here, and this is the only thing, is I didn't understand this at first. But what I'm trying to understand, they asked me for $35,000 when I've already made the payments through the trustee, and Countrywide is asking me for
And I'm asking you, what was the last date you made a payment to the trustee?
To the trustee?
Yes, ma'am.
I dropped the lawsuit in 2007.
All right, so yes, 2007
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Would be the last date you made payments to the trustee in bankruptcy?
Yes, ma'am. That's right, in 2007. And that's, yes, ma'am, it was 2007 because I asked them, what did it take to reinstate it? And that's when they sent me this $35,000 while I'm into the Chapter 13. And so after I started taking this to the attorneys, I couldn't force them to send me a note. And he said, what it is, Ms. Hornbuckle, just to make clear, their game is to take your property without any proof. In other words,
ma'am, all we really need to know is whether the trial court made a mistake. And we have to look at what evidence that trial court had.
They didn't have evidence. The trial court had no evidence. What? I was sitting there, and the judge that was visiting at the time, the defendants Countrywide presented no evidence. When we went before Judge Curry, and when I filed the subpoena to try to get evidence, he asked this attorney and the other attorney, okay, where's the proof of what she owed? Well, I have a record. We don't have it. He said, how much do she owe? So I sent asked him, validate the debt, which you validate. It doesn't matter what it is. I got stacks of certificates. They refused to validate the debt. The truth of it is this. I know if this had went before a jury, the jury would have had to have evidence on both sides. And all I know is this. They don't own the note. The bottom line of this whole thing, they don't own the note. And
thank you.
There was no evidence at the summary judgment. Thank you, Yana.
Thank you, Ms. Hornbuckle. Thank you, Ms. Castaneda. We appreciate your arguments. Your case is submitted, and you all are now.